Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't think ESPN.
Will they still be here?
It's yes.
What
probably.
If it's an opportunity? What if it's an opportunity to promote
to make the troops be the game,
yeah.
the pickers that day?
Have
a
yeah.
member that it's possible. But I do. I'm worried that the national the blowback that you're going to get is I think tourism's impacted by this National Guard situation, right? People don't really want to travel to a city that is occupied by the National Guard that they see in the headlines, and
we're not yet.
Well. Are we? Who knows what's happening?
They're not
saying
here yet.
Stuff has happened. I got you, and I understand. But
we have an increased
and
presence.
It could have, there could be positive impacts that come from this, but there are also obvious negative ones, and that is people do not want to travel to your city. Does ESPN not want to travel? Like, is ESPN going to travel to one of the few cities that have had the National Guard come to them here in the United States to protect the city that is so bad in crime? Or maybe they turn it around so quickly that by the time it is the success story, like you're saying, but I'm worried that that could work against Memphis, which has never been a factor before, unfortunately. Could be a factor.
Maybe I'm naive. I don't really think that plays into it.
You don't think it's going to matter?
No.
When they say, oh, we could go to Memphis, and they're like, well, have you seen what's been going on in the news in Memphis?
Yeah, I'm not as convinced on that. I think what it really depends on is, to me, ESPN has always been sensitive to the fact that they're in business with the SEC. And so if you look at the other options that week, Ole Miss at Oklahoma, they've already been to Norman. So does that mean that they're ruled out? No. Like if those two teams are undefeated, they're going there that day. Like I feel confident saying it. If Ole Miss, when Ole Miss wins this week, and then if Ole Miss goes to Georgia and wins, and then if Oklahoma beats Texas this week, and I think South Carolina...
Is that game in Oklahoma?
No, it's at the Cotton Bowl, the actual Cotton Bowl.
Oh, okay.
Like the stadium.
Okay.
Part of the fair. If those two teams are undefeated, that's where game day is going.
Fair, they should. But that's the only...
And then, who does LSU have this week? LSU's got South Carolina and Vanderbilt. You can talk me into if undefeated Texas A&M goes to Baton Rouge with one loss LSU, that would be ahead.
It could definitely be a contender.
And but I think that there's going to be a...
And there's always a non-power game day, right?
Usually. Correct. But I also think that like if Memphis gets unscathed and South Florida goes unscathed, I think they are very much in that discussion.
October 25th is that Saturday right now, 23 Memphis, 24 South Florida in action. South Florida's got to get through North Texas this weekend. They got Florida Atlantic. That shouldn't be a problem. Just like UAB should not be a problem. Remember, UAB looks pretty terrible from the
great hire guys
highlights, quote unquote, that I've seen from them and watching that the scores pop up on the buck.
They do not stop anybody. Yes, George.
I was about to say, I think I just stumbled upon another one that could end up being kind of interesting in the conversation.
Uh-oh.
For where game day ends up. They have not gone to Ames this year yet, have they?
No, Big Noon went there for the Iowa game.
BYU and Iowa State, if they both get to that point unscathed, they're both already ranked.
I also
BYU's undefeated.
I don't know what family of networks that one will be on, because the Big 12 has that weird thing where some games they are on both. Fox,
some are on ESPN.
Yes.
ESPN was doing a lot of promo for their Big 12 coverage going into the season.
That maybe that's a TNT game, because you know they gave some inventory to TNT.
Maybe.
I mean, there's also if Missouri
and Vandy?
Missouri and Vandy, like if
they just did we just did a Vandy game day, didn't we?
But that was in Tuscaloosa.
In Tuscaloosa.
Sure, but
it matters less of whether or not they've done the game involving
the
team. It's the location.
It's the location. No, that would have been, I mean, this past Saturday, ideally the Alabama Vandy one would have been in Nashville because they don't get a chance to go to Nashville very much. So they will take the opportunity to go to Nashville.
There was an awful Auburn Vandy game one year. It was like 3-2. I think game day was at.
So they like going
gross.
There.
Yeah, that was,
but it also ties into it. It's very much like going to Memphis, where it's like, hey, you know, we don't get to go here very much. But you know, the National Guard will be here. I'd say I don't know if it's a factor, but I feel like it. You know, the National Guard, they don't help.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's too soon to say. Like, I don't think that the television inventory is going to be impacted by that. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But
we won't know if they choose something else over Memphis. Like you said, there's other choices that weekend, but you might as well ask for it all. That really is the only opportunity for Memphis to have a game day this year. But the focus should be, I think I'm going to cheer against South Florida this weekend, because I mean, the focus should be getting to the playoffs. That's what you want to do. You want to be in the best position to be the best team. Your opportunities, yes, Memphis is in a great opportunity this year and will be next year to make the playoffs. But it all has to line up. You got to get your wins, right? You got your Arkansas win. You're undefeated. You have all of these great stats that Memphis fans can brag about right now that no other team in the country can say. Nobody else is bowl eligible. Nobody else has a win streak as long as Memphis.
I don't think anybody else is 6-0 and 6-0 against the spread.
Nobody is, because the one was 6-0.
UNLV? 6-0.
No, their first five. Game.
They
didn't cover against Idaho State.
They just won it. That's right.
I mean, this is the thing. This is the. There is a list. Somebody, we need to put together the list. But like, this is, you've got a lot of bragging rights if you're a Memphis Tiger football fan right now, and you know, adding another game day would be awesome. But it's not necessary. We've seen it.
I can confirm. Nobody else is 6-0 ATS. The next best is Utah State, but Utah State's not undefeated. Neither is Louisiana Tech.
And that's what Memphis.
There you go.
That's what was
good. Teams win, great teams cover.
Right. That's what was impressive about this past weekend is the Tigers. I feel like they're playing to send, not necessarily send a message, but they're not playing around as far as the scores. Right. They're not taking the foot off the gas. They're moving forward. This is the plan. Let's go.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We come back. We get into the list. CJ Hurt also coming up. During hour number two, stick around with us and Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. CJ Hurd of Grind City Media is going to join us during the next segment. We'll get his thoughts on the Ja Morant injury and more. Before we do that, let's get into the list. Amari DiMarcato. All right, just a quick rant. How in 2025, a week after, we just saw A.D. Mitchell do the exact same thing. How are we still having guys that drop the football before scoring touchdowns? It makes absolutely no sense to me. I don't understand it. And congratulations, Titans fans. This allows you to pick up your first win. There's nothing worse than having to watch every Sunday and knowing, like, my team's not going to win. Cam Ward got to have a great game-winning drive out of it. But I'm serious. I don't understand how it keeps happening.
But it does. And I don't know. You want me to try to figure it out? I can't figure it out. Are they trying to be cool, right? Are they trying to be cool?
I think the answer is there's definitely a coolness factor.
Okay.
What I can't understand, though, is, okay, the first time DeSean Jackson did it,
right,
that's fine. We now know, like, we've basically been going over this for, like, 15 years now. I don't understand how it still happens.
So is it to be cool, or is it, I mean, when you're holding onto that football as tight as you can, and you're like, I finally made it to the, you know, to the destination.
I was willing to give DiMarcato the benefit of the doubt. A.D. Mitchell's was trying to be cool. Like, there was no question. He was trying to, like, flip it right before he got to. DiMarcato might have been tired. DiMarcato ran 71 yards. He was getting chased down. If it would have been, like, another 5 yards, he might have gotten stripped and had the ball knocked out. Cowherd had a good take. TikTok's fault.
TikTok.
Everybody more worried about what they're going to do when they score a touchdown to get their TikTok dance, or everything about making sure it looks good on Instagram.
Well, I mean,
I just think it's, I think it's as simple as guy, like, that's in the end, it's like you're more concerned about looking cool than you are actually scoring.
Sure. I think that's but that Titans game, I mean, there's some highlights, lowlights from it that were just awesome yesterday. So that's just one of them. I loved watching it. The Titans won. So,
I mean, that was, four. I think they might, because at one point, I think it was 21-3, and I was questioning, even though the Dolphins had lost to the Panthers, like, the Dolphins didn't quit. It's just the Dolphins have a horrific defense, so every team's always in it. When it was 21-3, I'm sitting there thinking, like, oh, Callahan could be fired tomorrow because they looked not competitive again. This would have been another blowout. The fact that, like, they were able to mount that comeback and have a couple of miracle plays, but I still cannot believe this keeps happening.
The what was the point? Was it in the game? The Titans were down. Of course, that's what they, you know, that's what they do anyway. But what was
it? Would have made it 28-6.
The 28-6. But when there was the interception to the fumble to the score
to the touchdown, yeah,
touchdown. Like that was loved it. That's why I love to see that type of stuff.
That was the. Watching the two sides when they did, yeah. CBS did a nice job. I think it was CBS. Yeah, CBS. They did a nice job of showing, like, after it happened, the truck, like, did the reaction of both sidelines where the Titans on at the pick, like, everyone's doing the surrender cobra,
right.
And everybody's celebrating on the Cardinals sideline, and then you see the ball pop free, and then just watching one sideline drop, the other just erupts in celebration. Like, that was fun to watch.
I mean, it was that Titans had the most TikTokable game yesterday, for sure. So if you haven't seen those highlights, love the fact that we had that was the CBS game. Of course, you know, we always people complain we got to watch the Titans on Sunday, but it was a fun one. I enjoyed the balls just bouncing the right way for the Titans, like in a football game. It was something.
All right, Mark Sanchez. All right, quite the wild weekend for one Mark Sanchez.
Oh, my.
So.
To say the least.
I presume everybody realizes, like, early on Saturday, the news breaks that Mark Sanchez has been stabbed. And so I was immediately waiting for where all the think pieces
stabbed
about.
Stabbed in Indianapolis.
Correct.
And the way a lot of stories, like, oh, I didn't realize Indianapolis was that dangerous.
Like, right. And I was waiting for, I was like, where are all the think pieces coming from there?
Right.
I would argue initially quite sympathetic. Well, then
we don't want anybody to get stabbed.
Right. No. But like everyone, like initially it's like prayers up, like everybody's doing that. Then a couple hours later, the Metro Police Department of Indianapolis announces Mark Sanchez is going to be charged. And all of a sudden the tune changes. And then today, the prosecutor of Marion County, Ryan Mears, announced that he's upgraded the charge and that Sanchez is now facing a level 5 felony charge of battery, quote, involving serious bodily injury. Punishment can range from 1 to 6 years in prison, according to Mears. One of the challenges you have in a case like this is that you are dealing with individuals who are receiving medical care, and that's obviously the most important thing. The individuals are treated appropriately. But once we were provided with additional information about the victim's current medical condition, it became clear to us that additional charges need to be filed. Mears said his office received an amended probable cause affidavit Monday, which led to the additional charge because the truck driver suffered serious injuries. Mears added that the prosecutors are still investigating the incident and that Sanchez, 38, could face additional charges. On Sunday, Sanchez was charged with battery with injury, public intoxication, and unlawful entry of a vehicle, all misdemeanors. Sanchez had been scheduled for a court hearing Tuesday on the original charges, but that was rescheduled to November the 4th. Sanchez has been now released from the hospital, and he did turn himself in and he posted bail. Okay.
The quote from the police chief, though, the quote was, "We're lucky that no one's dead right now as a result of this incident that involved a knife." So, anyway.
Okay. Does anyone have a grasp of what actually happened. Because I heard 48 different versions of the story in which at one point somebody was promoting that he had beaten up his food delivery guy. What seems to be clear, and y'all correct me if I'm wrong, the truck driver that is the victim of the assault,
okay,
was
69-year-old man. Of course, Sanchez is 38.
Correct.
So we're talking about, but he 30-year difference in age.
He was disposing of grease outside of a restaurant.
Well, I think they were in an alley near a hotel.
Okay.
I do think that's possibly what his occupation was, but was it a parking dispute of some sort? So somebody was probably blocking somebody's access to a parking space?
Okay, according to an affidavit for probable cause based on hotel video footage of the altercation early Saturday and statements to the police, Sanchez allegedly accosted the driver of a box truck that backed into a hotel's loading dock. According to the affidavit, the confrontation escalated to the point where the truck driver believed he was endangered, sprayed Sanchez in the face with pepper spray, and with Sanchez still advancing towards him, he said he thought, quote, "This guy's going to kill me," end quote. The truck driver then pulled his knife with Sanchez still coming at him, and he struck Sanchez two or three times, according to the affidavit. The truck driver said he was thrown against a dumpster and onto the ground and believed he was in a life or death situation, end quote. The driver, according to the affidavit, then said, quote, "A look of shock came to Sanchez's face and Sanchez took off." Sanchez was arrested by the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department at a hospital on Saturday. The affidavit said Sanchez suffered several stab wounds to his right torso, while the driver had a laceration on his left cheek and was taken to a different hospital than Sanchez for treatment. Sanchez told a police officer that, quote, "all he could remember was grabbing for a window," end quote, and that he did not know who stabbed him or where it had happened, according to the affidavit.
It seems where this has occurred, there's a lot of video footage, and we have not seen it all. We've got some stuff that's coming out, but I think we're going to be able to see there's going to be the story told from the actual video footage. We're going to be able to piece together some of it on our own and make more analysis of it. But it does seem like
I would say
Sanchez is intoxicated, according to the reports.
I think the thing that's also working against Sanchez is the more information that comes out, none of it helps him.
Oh,
it feels like every time that new
he's getting charged. Oh, it's a worse charge.
Correct.
Oh, no. Hey, he still has not been let go from his job, though.
Correct.
From Fox Sports.
Although,
and he was replaced. Who replaced him on Sunday?
So Brady Quinn.
Yeah, Brady Quinn. Perfect replacement.
Replaced him. They also had Fox had Eric Collins, who I think is the TV announcer for the Hornets.
Yes.
He was calling the game like it was this first time ever watching a football game. Like, he was so excited. Like, it was.
I kind of loved it.
I mean, I was fine with it, but it's just like kind of like noticeable that like he was acting like an 8-yard out was the greatest throw and catch he'd ever seen. He was very excited. And then he had Schlereth next to him. I think it's safe to say Mark might not be calling games for Fox ever again.
Yeah.
That's a fair. Yeah.
A lawsuit has been filed in regards to this already from the family, so
it feels like it's going to be very difficult for Mark to if you've got a guy pushing his 70s that's getting attacked by a former NFL that thinks he's getting attacked by a former NFL guy.
Not that he said he didn't recognize, but
right. But let's
but so the Mark, guy the size
Mark Sanchez
his size of yes
is a big dude. I think it's going to be difficult to say, like, he overreacted. Like, you know what I mean? Like, in the end, like, that self-defense claim doesn't feel like it's legal.
Right, he got pepper sprayed before he stabbed him. So,
right.
Or he was the guy pepper sprayed Sanchez and then still had to.
There were some pictures that came out of the truck driver in the hospital. That laceration on the cheek does not, I don't think that does the justice. Guy was in, like, a full neck brace. The cut went from like lower cheek almost down to his neck. It was pretty rough.
Oh, yeah.
Did you find them?
Yeah.
Not great.
Okay. Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when you initially describe it, you know, you neck brace hospital, you think like, oh, Andy Kaufman, and they're making
or you think Bobby Petrina.
Right. It's like Bobby Petrina, right?
Not yeah.
like,
white.
Like, but they're making a bigger deal out of something. Right. That looks serious.
No, let's be real. Oftentimes you hear this and you think like, oh, this is like a shakedown, like acting like injuries happen so that you can sue them. No. Yeah, no, not the case. Let's see. Let's go with Paul Feinbaum. Okay, so a couple of things here. Number one, according to Clay Travis of OutKick, he's reporting that Disney, the Disney-owned network, ESPN, has canceled all of Paul Feinbaum's, quote, network appearances on all shows, including some that have occurred for a decade plus, in the wake of his interview with Travis expressing his potential political ambitions. On Three's Pete Nakos confirmed Travis's report, which ESPN Vice President of Communications Bill Hoffmeyer vehemently denied in a post on X. Let's see. Feinbaum did, however, appear on the ESPN-owned SEC network on Saturday, as well as SportsCenter anchor Matt Barry's weekly video podcast on Sunday. But when it comes to ESPN's flagship channel, it would be tough to argue that Feinbaum's presence hasn't had a lessened impact in the week that has followed his interview with Travis, in which he also publicly revealed his support for President Donald Trump for the first time. So there's a couple of things here. Number one, I don't have any problem taking Clay's report for facts because he's usually always on First Take today. And I think there's another, he does like a SportsCenter hit or something. Things yep. that you would Get Up. You'd see him on Get Up. You'd see him on First Take, like on the Monday after a big college football weekend. What I do also think is probably true is, I would imagine this is a bit of an interesting situation for ESPN because while Stephen A. Smith has referenced vaguely political aspirations, he has not specifically said this one race. And I can right. imagine ESPN is sitting there going, how do we handle this in terms of, even though he's not a candidate yet, what if he's using it as a platform for candidacy? Not in the sense of like, oh, we don't trust Paul Feinbaum. It's like, I can see where there's, you might have to get a lawyer or two in there and be like, okay, what can we reasonably do?
Yeah, I think so. But we are a little bit away from, and next year would be the midterm elections in which you would
run. I think
run.
They have to announce by January their intention.
So like, could you, if you're ESPN, just finish out the football season? But is it worth any possible legal blowback or whatever you could get by keeping him on the air?
Well, I also wondered this,
but there shouldn't
I believe
be any-
Paul also in that interview, I believe he also said that he didn't have a contract beyond the season. And so I would think there could also be some leverage concerns.
Or is he just being like, okay, we're going to lose this guy. Let's start putting on some other people that are going to be
that's
around.
What, that's
come
what
January.
I'm saying. Like, yeah, that's so- what I'm saying. Like, hey, well, listen, you might said you have another job. Like I can see where that yeah. plays a part.
If you pretty much have told us you're planning on leaving in January, so we need to elevate some of these other analysts because he has not been completely. He did some of his responsibilities this weekend, so it's not like he's just getting phased out. He's just like, let's try to
correct
because I mean you can.
He appeared on the show, like obviously he did Feinbaum's show, the Paul Feinbaum show.
Yeah,
he did SEC Nation, and then he does the podcast that he does a hit with Matt Barry every week. He did that. But those are like shows that he's a host on or, you know what I mean, considered a contributor on.
Right. That he's a big part of. So, I mean, it will be, I mean, obviously he'll be gone completely if he is running for office. But which he seems to keep, it seems to be pointing in that direction. That Paul Feinbaum is going to be running for the U.S. Senate. So.
I don't know. I just find it hard to. I don't think ESPN took him off the air because he said he voted for Donald Trump.
No. And what's the chances that maybe there's some kind of conflicts that he had? That
right. I think,
don't even know that.
I think it's also reasonable to think that there could be. Because
if they were taking him off, they would take him off. I think they're possibly phasing him off is a possibility because he's not going to be there. So why are you You got to put somebody else has got to be your go-to SEC expert.
They got to build new stars. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, CJ Hurt joins the program next. We'll get his thoughts on the Ja Morant ankle injury, the beginning of preseason, and more. We'll talk to him next right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. CJ Hurt!
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com, code FIT.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Hurt is a Grind City Media personality. You can see him every weekday on the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt. Follow him on the Everything app at ConRadicalness. CJ, with zero being a nothing burger, 10 being a 5-alarm fire, where are you on the Ja Morant ankle sprain in terms of how are you grading it for where the fan base should be emotionally?
Oh, emotionally. Everything as a fan is a 10. So emotionally, everybody as a fan should be at a 10 all the time.
Good point.
If you want to step back and be reasonable about it, I've had ankle sprains. I'm sure most of you listening and everybody in the studio has had ankle sprain. It's not great, but she should be fine 2 weeks from now when the season gets started, the regular season gets started, October 22nd. He made it through. He made it through all of training camp, so he was able to get some work done from a installation of new offensive and defensive principles and schemes. So he has that. He's going to be a little rusty when he comes back because, you've been gone for 2 weeks. But, on a scale of 1 to 10, I put it reasonably at, a 3. It's not nothing, but it isn't the end of the world. I got it at a solid 3.
Yeah, I think we were talking about the start of the show. If the injury is just, if you don't have context, I'm with you. It feels like it's a nothing burger. I do think where I understand fan emotions is, it feels like yet again, here it is, that this is a year where, hey, you'd like to see things get back on track, and it all starts with Ja Morant. It's like you're already just starting off with an ankle injury, and I think it just leads people down a path of if you thought he was going to play 65 games, why should I think that?
Ankle injuries are so fluky, though.
Yeah.
But we don't know how.
Again, we don't have video. We don't even know. This could have just been stepping wrong. We don't even know the grade of it.
Yeah. So, if you go up and you come down wrong, that just happens. There's nothing that can be done to prevent that from happening. And I feel like this might be one of those type situations. Now, how he rehabs and how he comes back, we don't want this to be a lingering type of issue for the rest of the season. But ankle's going to get sprained from time to time. He's not missing, to the best of my knowledge, any regular season games. So let's just sort of dial that back a tad, although I will acknowledge that it is hard to dial it back a tad when the star player of your franchise, who's the only knock, the main knock, is how available can he be during the regular season? And for him to start off the preseason with an ankle injury, an ankle sprain, injury feels too harsh, but with an ankle sprain, I do understand why that would drive fans insane and make them panic and go to the worst case scenario right off the bat.
All right, let's talk about tonight, because you know we're not going to try to make too much out of preseason, but like, what are some of the things that you're looking for to actually see in the team in action tonight?
Just go out there and compete. That's it. That's all. Just go out there and try to be. I'm not sure how much of the new system is going to be shown tonight. Preseason isn't the time to show those types of things. Preseason gives you one last look at some guys who are fringe roster type dudes, and then everybody else get into shape. Nobody get injured or get into better shape. They're in shape, get into better shape, get into actual NBA game shape, and nobody get injured. Just go out there and compete. That's all I need to see.
All right. What about the – do you think we'll learn anything in terms of kind of where the pecking order is? You know, we got the crowd on the wings. I guess we'll – you know, whether or not – Scotty or whether or not Ty Jerome ends up being kind of the point guard in Ja's absence. Are there any things like that that you're looking for?
No, because I would expect it to change depending on the preseason game. You know, I
sure.
would think that you'd want Coach T.I. would want to play a bunch of different lineups and a bunch of different guys in different ways and different roles in the preseason so they get some run in a potential role that they might have. So tonight, it wouldn't surprise me at all if Scottie Pippen Jr. starts tonight at the point guard spot and Jerome comes off the bench backing him up. And then for the very next game later on this week, for Ty Jerome to get the start and Scottie to back him up. Like that type of stuff wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me if one night you see a Coward and Wells starting wing lineup, and then the next night you see a Wells and a Gigi wing lineup. So like that starting wing lineup, excuse me, that's not something I'm going to take too much away from or stock in.
All right, let's switch gears to college football. CJ, I need some advice for Memphis fans right now. I think Memphis fans are in a very unique spot where they can brag about a lot of things. Is there anything in particular you think Memphis fans should be bragging about right now as in the world of college football? They're back in the top 25. They are Memphis is the only 6-6 and longest win streak in the country, right? Only bowl eligible team in the country. What would you be bragging about if you were a Memphis fan?
I think if I could take a note from some playbooks that are going on in the city, I think Mayor Young feels this way right now, where it is Memphis doesn't want to be the redhead stepchild. Memphis wants to be embraced by the state of Tennessee, and Memphis wants to embrace the state of Tennessee some. So I think Memphis fans should follow that lead and embrace the whole state. For the first time ever, you've got three teams in the state of Tennessee ranked in the AP top 25. Like that's never happened before with Memphis and Vanderbilt and Tennessee all being ranked. So I think Memphis can extend that pride to the rest of the state, where we can say, hey, West Tennessee got a team ranked, and Middle Tennessee got a team ranked, and East Tennessee got a team ranked. We all come together as a state and start, you know, trying to unify a bit more.
Okay, unification plan there.
Actually getting the three stars of the state flag, like just putting it all in one place.
Bringing it to everybody, because it really is. That's what it is. Yeah, this is the three stars. Could all three stars be in the playoffs? I don't think so. There's a strong chance, though. A lot of the projections, CJ, have Memphis versus Ole Miss in the opening round of the college football playoffs. Would you rather see that or Memphis matched up with somebody else?
Give me Memphis, Tennessee. Forget all that unity. Memphis versus Tennessee. West Memphis versus West Tennessee versus East Tennessee. Let's do it. Let's go. How crazy would that be? That'd be exhilarating. That's the one I want.
I think that'd be interesting.
What would Tiger
fans vote for? If the options were playing.
If you have either one of those.
Right, and let's stipulate you're on the road in both, obviously.
Right. Right, you're trapped. I think the Oxford one's that's easy. Let's go to Ole Miss, and we know Memphis can beat Ole Miss. We know they can beat Tennessee one time.
Wait, what do you mean you know Memphis can beat Ole Miss?
Like, it's happened before, so you could trick.
You know that?
You could trick yourself into believing. A Memphis fan can easily trick yourself into believing, because Memphis, it's a rivalry game. So, like, because of the historical levels of these teams in the competition, Memphis has beaten Ole Miss when they were not supposed to beat them. You know, Eli Manning was the quarterback. Have you ever heard of him? You ever watched the Manning cast, CJ? Like, so Memphis fans
Memphis beat Tennessee. You ever heard of Peyton Manning? What are you
You're right. He's also on that Manning cast. You're right. Okay, you're right. Good point. All right, so Memphis could beat either one is what you're saying.
Peyton as a starter.
No, wait. Oh, Jeffrey, wait a minute. CJ, now, hold on.
Well, no, I think the stat was like Peyton only lost to three teams as a starter. It was Nebraska, Florida, and Memphis.
Is that true?
As a starter, because there's an Alabama game where he was like rotating, they got beat, but I think it was like as the unquestioned starter, he only lost to Michigan. It was to Nebraska, Florida, and Memphis. Yeah.
I mean, if you want to go to the game, if you want to go to the game, I think it's easy. It's Ole Miss. The Oxford, like, you have a chance to get to the game. At least be a part of the game day experience much easier. It's closer by a lot. Not even, you know, there's not even an argument there. But it's very possible, CJ. I mean, it's a moment, right? Like, it's possible we can see Memphis versus Ole Miss. And then maybe even Tennessee. In that all the 12-5 projections right now, which is fun, is an SEC opponent. So that would be cool.
Oh, yeah, that would be fun. That would be a great season for the
Yeah,
the
it's true. I looked it up.
That would be great.
It's true.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, as a starter, he was 32-5.
He did a lot of losing to Florida. He reminded me of Arch out there.
Yeah, three. And Eli went 2-0 against Florida.
Yeah. What, 0-2-0-3, right?
Yeah, he beat Ron Zook's Florida. A little different.
Texas or Penn State? Who's going to work their way back into the top 25 and a chance at the playoffs? Which one, Texas or Penn State?
Why are you throwing grenades at me like this? What did I do to make you upset? What are we talking about? Texas has games left against Oklahoma, Georgia, Vanderbilt, and Texas A&M. So hypothetically speaking, Texas just don't lose to Kentucky or any other team you're not supposed to lose to. And you win three of those games, Texas is back in. But can Texas win three of those games with Arch playing the way that he's playing, that offense looking rather lackluster? I'm not sure. On the other side of the coin, Penn State has games left against Ohio State and Indiana. So you win both of those games and don't lose anybody you're not supposed to lose to. They're not going to leave a 10-2 team out of the CFP. So I'm going to say Penn State, but like I don't think they beat either of those teams, and I think they got another loss up in them. They don't have anybody who can make an explosive play downfield, not a big play receiver. I thought they had a couple of big play running backs, somebody who could rattle off, you know, 25, 35, 40 yards to get chunk plays, but they don't have that right now. If you stop that run game, you say, all right, you Allah, beat us going up and down the field. They just can't do that. So I think Penn State, I don't think either of them make it to the CFP. But if you said, CJ, you got to pick one, I guess I'd pick Penn State.
No, you can go with neither. I think that's
Would you put Michigan over either of them?
Would I put Michigan to get to the CFP?
Yes.
Over either of them?
If I give you a Michigan ticket or the other two, are you taking Michigan?
I would take the Michigan ticket because they've shown that they can be, one, a really, really good defense. I think they are. And two, they've shown an ability to run the football and to get big plays, chunk plays with, what's the man's name? Haynes out of the backfield.
Justice Haynes, which is an awesome running back name.
Where the others, I don't think they've shown an ability to get big plays. It is hard in football when you only have, what, anywhere between 7 and 10 possessions in a game. It is hard to drive every single time down the field 9, 10, 11, 12 plays. You've got to get plays where you get big chunk of yards. And if you've got one of those players, the more players like that you have, the better your football team is because it makes everybody's job so much easier. we can start off on our side of the 30 and get two 20-yard, 40-yard plays, and now we're down in the red zone. And Michigan can do that. Not necessarily passing the football. That leaves a little bit to be desired. But right now, they can run the football, and they can gash you for big plays. That's what happened against Wisconsin in that game they played this weekend, where they were just gashing Wisconsin for big plays. And they did it against Oklahoma as well, where coming out at the start of the half, boom, Haynes breaks off 60, 70 yards.
I think it's 75 yards, yeah.
Yeah. So that, I would say Michigan, I think all three of them have good defenses, or good enough defenses. I think the difference is, hey, do you have enough playmakers? And Michigan has at least one, and I don't know if the other ones have any.
If you had to pick the team that wins the SEC championship, who would you bet on?
Oh, man.
Tough questions today, CJ.
I don't have a great answer.
Y'all are mad at me, boy.
No, I'm asking you the questions that I get asked.
It's tough. Yeah, you going to Oklahoma, you going to Texas A&M, you going Ole Miss.
I mean, Bama is still undefeated in conference play.
Yeah, Bama could win. And they,
but Alabama can't stop the run. And at some point, you're playing a team who can run the football. So at some point, you're playing. Ole Miss can run the football. Oklahoma can run the football. Texas A&M can run the football. Right now, off the strength of nothing but Marcel Reed graduated from the high school I went to. Shout out Montgomery Bell Academy. I'm gonna go with Texas A&M. Like it wouldn't surprise me if it was any of the teams we named. And don't forget, Missouri is lurking about here.
Well, I mean, that's
Missouri
who they play this week.
Looks remarkably competent and beyond competent. They look outright good.
And a lot of these teams have never won around there. These are the teams that have never won, so it's hard for maybe our minds to get around the idea that Texas A&M is going to win, Oklahoma's going to win, Ole Miss is going to win, Missouri's going to win. They've never won the SEC before.
Don't fit Oklahoma in there with everybody else, because Oklahoma has won their conference, right? And Oklahoma does have that sort of blue blood pillar program in the sport in there. So while they
Southeastern
won the SEC,
Conference is what we're talking about.
They've been winning conferences. And listen, Tennessee is still there also. Don't forget about
well, I know, they're your favorite, yeah.
Stop it. That was a game that against Georgia that they
what about
very
Vandy?
Well could have and should have won.
What about Vandy? No. We're bringing the state together, you said. We're bringing everybody together. What about Vandy?
Yeah, no, we're not that close. we're not close enough for me to throw Vanderbilt in there. How crazy would that be, though? Vanderbilt.
A week ago, not that crazy. Yeah, today, yeah.
A week ago, it would still be crazy. That lost.
Sure.
But, like, it's still Vanderbilt.
You could convince me. You could have argued it.
The thing that I think about is, okay, they have an emotional, physical game against Georgia. They come out on top. You could tell that Alabama-Vanderbilt game, like, you can make all the jokes you want, but, like, that was an important game to them, and you could tell, like, shutting Diego up was a part of it. It's like, congratulations, now you got to go head on the road and you got to go play at Missouri at 11 a.m. Like, that's where I think the SEC, like, for all the griping and complaining they do about how difficult it is, like, there's not much of a break. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's three pretty emotionally, like, taxing games in a row.
Yeah, absolutely it is. But, hey, if you want to be good, you win that
No,
game.
Absolutely,
if you want
yeah.
me, if you want me to believe you're good, you win all of those games. Especially after losing to Florida State the way that you lost to Florida State if you're Alabama. Where it's like, okay, I can give you grace for one of these types of losses, but I don't know how much I have for multiple. But even a two-loss Alabama team, when you look at assuming everything holds and everybody remains relatively close to where they are, even a two-loss Alabama team is getting in into a playoff, because that would mean that, let's say they lose to Missouri this weekend, that would mean that they beat Tennessee next week. And then they beat Auburn. So, you know, like, it'll all work itself.
Oh, it is almost the third Saturday in October. Yeah, it's getting close.
Yeah, so, like, this is...
How deflating. I don't want
the conference schedule.
I don't want it to be Alabama. Deflating. I want to see something new. I want something new and fresh.
You want Vanderbilt versus Ole Miss SEC title game.
Sure. I mean,
Atlanta.
No, I mean, I like all the options.
I did make the joke on Saturday. That would break people's brains. All right, man, we got to let you go. Appreciate you.
All right, I'll let you. that's all.
That is CJ Hurt. When we come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, boys, for today's Don't Tell These Story, tell your story. Steve Sarkisian was asked about Texas's struggles. And he said this, I mean, take the other, how many teams are there in college football? 136? Take the other 135 and have them go play at Ohio State and at the Swamp. See how they do. I mean, South Florida did go into the Swamp and leave with a win.
Hey, some of them are doing pretty well.
I mean, how many teams could actually schedule Florida State or Florida and Ohio State the same year? The fact that like you looked incompetent might be the bigger issue. I don't think it's necessarily that. Although it seems like, hey, no choice, but he's sticking with Arch. Want to thank CJ Hurt for joining the program. If you missed anything, he'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Kevin, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.